Well, here we are. Welcome to another edition of Survival Stuff with Indiana Jim. This is sponsored by Live Free USA at AmericanSurvivor.org. I am James C. Jones. I write my books under that title. That is my name. I do live in Indiana, but Indiana Jones was taken, so it's Indiana Jim to you. Live Free USA is America's oldest and most respected survival organization. We've been around since 1968. We are dedicated to helping people prepare for emergencies, helping them to survive emergencies. We've been doing this for a long, long time. We're a broad-based survival preparedness organization. That is, we don't focus on just what to do if you're lost in the woods or what to do in a crime situation. We cover disasters in general, disaster survival in general, in addition to the outdoor survival things. We actually started out as an outdoor survival club, sports club, and then we expanded into all these other categories as time went on. So here we are today, over 50 years later, in a more disastrous and a much more unstable time than back in the 1960s. So here we are, covering a wide range of situations. I am somewhat unique in the survival education field and as the survival, if you will, experts, and I don't think there's such a thing as an expert. Survival is too wide a category to think anybody's really an expert in everything, but anyhow, as survival writer, survival publisher, survival leader, if you will, I'm unique in the fact that I was born and raised in an urban area. Some people say, well, why don't you move out to the woods and, you know, live in Idaho or Montana or someplace? And I said, well, there's no people out there. How can I teach people to survive? How can I help people? All where the people are is in the cities. That's where the population is. That's where it counts. So if I'm going to be an advocate for survival, preparedness teacher, I need to be in an urban area, and I lived in the south side of Chicago, and I don't mean the nice south side of Chicago. I mean, yeah, every night I'd hear some gunshots going off. Yeah, there was graffiti pretty well everywhere. That part of Chicago, when you talk about urban survival, I know urban survival. I know people that have been in gangs. I've had a lot of interesting, let's say, experiences. I have a lot of inside information about gangs and crime and people, good people that are having to live under those conditions. So I bring that to the survival field. I also spent quite a bit of time, you know, rock climbing, river rafting, caving, all those kind of outdoor stuff too. But there's plenty of specialists in that. I consider myself particularly specialized in some of the urban survival techniques. And I get a lot of information also from police officers and from my own personal experience in the city. So anyhow, that's where I'm coming from. It's essential to maintain a lifestyle and an alert level much different than you do in a nice suburb or in the countryside when you're living in the urban environment. Sometimes we talk about having different alert levels, like, you know, alert level white, which is like, well, everything's fine, you know, don't worry about a thing. I'm in my home in a nice suburb right now in the basement. I feel pretty comfortable, okay? But then, when you know, as soon as I step out the door, maybe I go to alert level yellow. In this urban area, you're usually at alert level orange the minute you're on the street, because all kinds of things can happen. Not only is it cars driving around with people that maybe smoking pot or maybe not have a few drinks or not paying attention. You've got any number of crimes that can pop up. You see it all the time. People get caught in these criminal crime situations, carjackings, active shooter situations, gang crossfire, just any number of things. And so I'm also a student of military science. It's one of my hobbies. I study all the different battles, and you know, you can also apply that to survival. You can apply that to life in general. Sometimes life is like a war, particularly for me in some cases in my past. But anyhow, I apply some of these principles. How do these apply to survival in an urban environment, especially as it's getting worse and worse now? Back when I was a kid, you know, crime was something that happened mostly to other people. Most people had no experience with it. Unfortunately, that's not the way it is today. So, While gangs lack formal training, they are capable of organizing assaults. They have instincts. They are, you know, well trained on the streets from childhood. So you have to be alert for what the enemy tactics are if you're going to apply military strategy to these things. So the first thing you have to know is, what are the enemy's tactics? Well, one of the tactics you see in use all the time now is shock. Okay, in the old days, that was one that they were pretty careful, unless St. Valentine's Day Massacre might have been an example of shock. Okay, but now we see this all the time. You know, big shootouts in the street. 4, 5, 6 gang members jump on some guy to steal his car. It wasn't just one person carjacking a car. It's 4 or 5. They come in guns blazing. They don't care that they shoot up the neighborhood. They don't care that a 3-year-old sitting in his living room gets shot by an errant bullet. There was a big shootout in Chicago a couple months ago, and they get videotape of it, and everybody's shooting back and forth. They're all wearing masks. They all got hoodies. They weren't able to make one arrest, even though they had the whole thing on videotape, because nobody knew who was shooting at who. They found out their safety in numbers. And with the environment of being very careful as to who you arrest or who you accuse or who you shoot at, out of 6 people that were on the video, nobody got arrested. They got away with shooting up the whole neighborhood. That's the environment you're living in. So shock is one of the things. You're in the store, you know, all you're thinking about is buying something, and suddenly 12 people jump in there and they're all wearing the same clothes and they start grabbing stuff, and you get in the way, you know, maybe they're going to take you down. So that's one of the ways that they use it, shock. Now, for your home, different things like fences and tripping hazards, those kind of things to slow down, bright flashlights, those kind of things in your home and around your home. And I hate to say, you know, like I say, if the criminals are coming down your street or the looters coming down your street, a high volume of return fire. Okay, even if you're not really aiming at them, just to hear a lot of shots coming back their way. Smoke bombs, I talk about, you know, throwing smoke. Anything that can disrupt their shock and their movement. And I talk about in self-defense, their idea is to shock you, to grab you, move on you very quickly. And you're being a normal person, you're like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? In that moment, if you quickly act, you know, like they grab you and you immediately go crazy and start screaming and hitting and pushing and all this. Now that's counter shock, okay? And it breaks up their momentum. They don't expect you to do that. They expect you to comply, at least in that first couple of seconds. If you can comply, if you're peaceful and you're scared, then they've got you and they're going to use you however they want. But shock is one of the things you can expect from criminals today. Diversion, another one that's commonly used by criminals today is a basic tactic. Diversion, they'll send a small group in to create some problem, argue with a salesperson or whatever. If you're down the street, they may bump into you, ask you for directions, or they may, you know, display a weapon or whatever, anything to divert you, or you're by your car and you're pumping gas or you're coming out of the gas station. While they're diverting you, their other ones are stealing your car, they're getting ready to attack you, they're going to disable you, whatever. You have to be constantly, like they say, head on a swivel. Yes, you're in a combat zone. Anytime you're in the urban environment nowadays, consider yourself to be in a combat zone. You know, I was in training with a survival school, and I got to be the point man. And a point man, it's like, you know, booby traps, trip wires, ambushers, snipers. Constantly looking for all these kind of dangers. You've got to be more alert. You see this all the time. People got their cell phone in front of their face, they're daydreaming, whatever, and they become victims, okay? I recently got a t-shirt, I sort of like it. It's got a lion on the cover, an American flag, and it says, your first mistake was to assume that I was one of the sheep, okay? Don't be one of the sheep. Okay, so diversion is one of their strategies, one of their tactics, okay? Also, they use this to get into your home. Somebody will come to your door, knock, 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 and maybe they got a orange vest on and a hat, a hard hat. Anybody can buy those at the hardware store. And the guy says, you know, you got something's wrong with your roof, or there's a big water main leaking in your backyard or whatever, come out there and look, I'll show you. And you walk around the back, and they got a radio because that's what you probably would have. So the meanwhile, they walk around the back, they can now tell their buddy, give them a signal, you can now go in the house and rob the house while I got them out and back, and then they get back, and there you go, you're getting robbed. Okay, so diversion is one of their tactics. Intimidation, of course, intimidation. They're going to threaten you with that weapon. They may show force, but including they display a weapon. They may imply that they have a weapon and they really don't have, but you don't want to take that chance. They follow by threats to get you to lay down or, you know, put down your arms, put up your hands, drop your cell phone, whatever they want you to do. Whatever you do, don't go with them wherever they want you to go. If they want to do something bad to you and they want you to go someplace, that's why they want you to go there. They don't want to do it where you're at right now. But intimidation, you have to be strong. They really won't know what to do if you don't let them intimidate you right away. They depend on you being intimidated. Okay. Infiltration. They may send seemingly helpless people to your door, or they may come up to you on the street, help, I need help. Can you help? Can you give me some change? There are all kinds of different things that it's basically what I call infiltration. They're infiltrating your personal space. Maybe they're infiltrating your home. You want to be a nice person, so you might let them into your house. You might let them get too close to you, and you don't want to do that. So people try to get into your personal space, step back, say, excuse me, you ain't got into my personal space. You know, what can I do for you? What's your problem? And meanwhile, you're looking because it may be a diversion as well. So remember, criminals are experts at this kind of stuff. You need to have a plan when you see these potentials. They are good liars. They are good actors. They have they can be a Trojan horse in your to get actually into your family, into the store wherever you're at, and then they take over. And finally, the last strategy tactic that criminals use is of course the ambush. Okay. Again, all military type things. Ambush. That means they may be down the street waiting for you. They may be in an alleyway. They may be in a car parked there and they just jump out of the car. I see this on videotape all the time. The videotapes are wonderful, aren't they? You get all kinds of good videotapes of people they don't catch because, you know, you still can't recognize anybody. So, but ambush is one of the big ones. Suddenly you walk into the ambush because, again, you weren't alert. You weren't thinking militarily. Is this a choke point? Do I have a way to go? Is there somebody in their car, those cars? Why are they waiting there? Why are those guys waiting on the corner? Why is there a guy over there and two guys over there? Well, this one guy's going to intercept me, and these people are going to come behind me. Maybe not. Maybe they're just there, but it's better to assume the worst. Don't feel that it's too prideful to turn around and go the other way. Go to the other side of the street. When you're walking down the street of the city, walk on the outside of the sidewalk so you can get out to the street before they can come out of the gangway or the doorway or whatever. You've got to be watching out for ambushes. So shock, diversion, intimidation, infiltration, and ambush are all the things that you got to look out for. I like to include a little funny story from time to time in my things, and I always like this story was ambushes. I had a couple of incidents. One, walking to work, and I walk to work every day, by the way, in the city. One thing, I take different routes every day, because obviously if you walk by the same place every day, they're going to say, oh, he comes by here about 5 o'clock every day. Okay, we're gonna get him. You know, it looks like he's probably got some money on him. We're gonna ambush this guy. So, but if you don't come by there every day, and you come different routes, that prevents that. But anyhow, one time I came, sometimes I'd go up the alley. You know, the criminals don't wait. You know, they won't expect you to come down the street. You come down the alley, they either think you're one of them, you know, this guy's bad, he's coming down the alley, but they're not waiting to ambush somebody in the alley. They're waiting to ambush somebody on the street or the sidewalk where nice people belong. So I always like to make people think I was a little crazy. You know, might not have been inaccurate. That's another thing they won't fool with. If they really think you're crazy at all, you don't pay attention to them, you pretend like you didn't hear them, it screws them up in something awful. But anyhow, I'm walking down the street. I come right around the corner. I would walk right into a drug deal. Shame on me. There's four guys that are right there, some guys with the money out. Other guys stayed in there with a little package, and I walk right in between them. And I said, have a nice day, guys. Take care. And I walked right through them, and I kept walking. Of course, I looked behind me real quick, and they were like, you know, I was the one that created the shock for that one, okay? But that's the kind of environment I lived in. Okay, so how to win? How are you going to survive under these things? Well, you have to have your own tactics. And one of the things is to deny the enemy their advantages. You need to deny them surprise, you need to deny them the initiative, and you deny them privacy. These are the three things that they want to commit their crimes, whatever that may be. So you deny them surprise by moving through the areas with your senses tuned to noises, to shadows, to people that are odors even. These guys don't bathe that often sometimes. Maybe they're smoking pot. Most criminals don't. They may be, like I say, marijuana. They may be alcohol. Most criminals aren't aware that they stink, okay? But some of them do. Some are they. I've picked up those smells, okay? I know somewhere around there they're smoking pot. People who smoke pot in the street, yeah, maybe criminals. I think I'm going to avoid that area. If there are other people along your route, what are they doing? Okay, why are they watching you? Can they intercept you? Are their actions normal or they seem a little off? Okay, you're going to need to pretend to pay attention to that sense that you have in the back of your head when those hairs stand up in the back of your head. I don't have that many hairs back there anymore, but you need to. Pay attention to those instincts. We have instincts in us that we don't understand anymore. We've evolved, if you will, but they're still there. We smell things, hear things, see things that we don't really realize. Our subconscious knows it. It feels hinky, if you will. Remember that word, hinky? Something feels hinky. Something don't feel right here. I think I'm going to back off. I'm going to go a different way, or I'm going to make a plan for what I have to do if something's going wrong here. Pay attention to your instincts. Don't shrug them off. Don't forget your rear guard duties. We had these little patrol things in training, and the rear guard guy, you always had somebody who was supposed at the back of the group that was supposed to periodically turn around, look right, look left, and then periodically turn around. And make sure that somebody didn't sneak up behind us. And of course, he had to be alert because he's the guy they're going to sneak up behind. They could take him out, and then they could take the next guy out. So he has to be extra, extra alert. So we'd always rotate so that, but you don't get to do that. But you know what? When I'm walking down the street, I'm covering by using my peripheral vision by turning to right and left every once in a while. Sometimes I actually turn around on a dark street and walk backwards a couple steps and look around. Two things happen there. One, I've made sure I don't see anything that looks wrong. Secondly, if somebody is watching me, they're saying, oh crap, this guy's really alert. He's probably armed. I think I'm gonna wait for the next one to come by. You've gotta remember your rear guard. Remember your appointment man, and you're the rear guard, and you're the flank security for yourself and for your family going down the street. Don't put yourself in the enemy's kill zone. Another one of those deny the enemy surprise. If he's setting up an ambush, okay? Like I said, walk on the outside of the sidewalk. Try to scan and pick up suspicious activity. If they don't know where you're going exactly, then they're not going to be able to set up that ambush. So take different routes. If you need to cross the street, cross the street. It's not a pride thing. Oh, I'm afraid. They're going to look down. Oh, look, he crossed the street. He's afraid of us. That's not your problem, okay? Do you really want to impress them? Is that what your priority is? They don't even know where you were going in the first place. Maybe you were going to cross the street anyhow, but you don't want to get into this situation. So maybe you're going that way anyway. You are a sharp person. This should tell them to leave you alone, okay? This guy, he moved across the street and he's watching us. He sees what we're doing. And again, we'll wait for the next guy. Don't look like a victim because then you become a victim. Okay. Deny the enemy the initiative. In other words, don't let happen to their situation before they happen to you. It's one of our mantras in Live Free and survival in general. Happen to things before they happen to you. Now, they're going to happen to you anyhow, but if you happen to them first, you got a much better chance of coming out on top. Rest assured that the criminal or the gang have a plan. They have an idea what they want to do. It may be a simple plan, probably will be a simple plan because they're pretty simple usually, but they have a lot of instincts and they're not going to hesitate, whereas you might. Remember that you're only going to have 4 to 6 seconds to react. So you should know exactly what you're going to do. Walking down that street, those guys are there, get across the street, and you know what? They move across the street. Okay, now you're, you know, whichever way you go, obviously they made it obvious, you know, something's going to happen. You can have a plan. Now, if they move on me, this is what I'm going to do, okay? I'm in an area where people will hear me. Maybe it's a woman, maybe it's a guy. You know, don't let your pride get in your way, okay, of taking the proper action. When they move on you, you're going to move now. You know what you're going to do. You're going to run if you think you're going to outrun them. You're going to charge at them. You're going to scream fire, by the way. When there's somebody yells fire, everybody runs to the window. Everybody comes out and wants to see where that fire is because it might burn down their house next. They might have to call a fire department. People who yell for help, they hear that help. They're like, oh, I don't want to get involved. Oh, you know, maybe they're just, you know, I don't want to get involved. But fire will usually bring people screaming fire. Plus, the bad guys will think you're sort of kind of crazy. They'll even wonder where the fire is. So you scream fire and you make a lot of noise. And if you got a whistle, you blow the whistle and you deploy your weapons if you have weapons. All those kind of things. You have that plan, what you're going to do. We'll talk about weapons real briefly in a minute. Okay, deny the enemy privacy. If you plan your route right, you should be able to at least be going down the street where there's doors to people's houses handy, and there's an area where you can go, and there may be people around. Try to stay where there's people. I know I was in New Orleans years ago, and it was sort of interesting. You always want to take a route, especially if you're a tourist, where there's a lot of people. Okay, there's some dark streets in New Orleans. Being from Chicago, I felt pretty comfortable, pretty alert, especially when you're in another city. But nevertheless, you deny the enemy privacy because they want to take you places or have you in a place where they can do whatever they need to do. So listen to those instincts. Listen to what your instincts are telling us. Do not push the enemy's buttons as if it will stop in the case of an elevator. You know, they'll maybe push one button and up you go and you're in the elevator. First of all, when you're in the elevator, you're waiting for the elevator. The elevator doors open. There's some kind of grungy looking guy and there are two guys. Or maybe there's somebody behind you ready to jump in with you or push you in. Don't get in that elevator with that person. You can wait till the next elevator, okay? If you get in the elevator and, you know, the next door opens, a guy jumps in and he's a criminal and you're in trouble, don't push the emergency button. It'll stop the elevator and set off an alarm, but it won't help you. Push all the other buttons. Now the door opens every minute. Door constantly opens. That's what you want to do if you get caught in an elevator. If you're on a train, an elevator train comes by or a subway train, and you look in there and it don't look right, get off the car. You know, it's not a pride thing. You can wait for the next car. It's better to wait for the next car or wait for the next elevator or wait for the next ride or whatever, Uber or whatever, if you don't think it's right. It's better to wait for the next one than wait for the next ambulance, right? Or the next quarters van. Okay, so don't let your pride or your overconfidence put you in that. These criminals are very capable. So now, what about carjacking? Carjackings are very common nowadays. Every friggin' day now in Chicago, two or three cars are carjacked. It's starting to spread out into the suburbs. They get away with this stuff. If you're carjacked, get out of the car. You can throw the keys if you want and let them run after the keys so you can run in the opposite direction. If you want to have an extra wallet. By the way, it's not a bad idea to have two cell phones. You have one that your main cell phone you use, which they're going to take, because they don't want you to call the police and tell them that you've been carjacked and what your license number and all that is. So you have an old cell phone that you give them. And by the way, if you have an old cell phone that you want to keep and you give them your good cell phone, you can still call 911 on a deactivated cell phone as long as the chip's in there and the batteries are still up. You can always call 911 on any cell phone and you can call them. So an extra cell phone's a good safety item. It doesn't take up much room. You have that extra cell phone, you throw the keys, whatever you do, don't stay in the car with the carjacker. Don't get in the car. If they tell you, get in the car, or I'll shoot you, or whatever, don't buy it. They want the car. They really don't want you. If they want you, they want you for something bad, okay? And they want to take you someplace so they can do something bad. And they don't want to do it here. So run. Scream and run. Scream and run. Fire, 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 or whatever you want to. Just scream. Make as much noise as you can and run and zigzag. Statistically, the chances that they'll decide to shoot at you while you're running away are 50-50. Which is probably a better chance than you had if you stayed right away. The chances of them hitting you, if they do shoot, are about 50-50. Because any of you that know anything about handguns know they're inherently inaccurate. Even if you've had a little training, and criminals don't have much training at all. And I've seen some of these shootouts in the street where nobody got hit after they emptied their magazines. They're very inaccurate weapons. So it's 50-50 that they're going to shoot. 50-50 that they're going to hit you, and you've got a 50-50 chance that the wound, if you are hit, will not be fatal, versus an almost 100% chance that you will be found dead if they take you where they want to take you, you get in the car and you become, a kidnapping victim. They're going to take you to some place where they can do what they want to do, which is probably do something real bad and then kill you. So don't ever, ever get in the car or get in any kind of vehicle with the criminals. Run, yell, whatever you need to do. Okay. At home, you should have active motion detector lights, of course. Cover your routes to the front door and to your garage. And by the way, is another one that I see, and I'm the community watch in our community. People with these garage doors, they leave the garage door open, and then they think the door between the attached garage and the house is an interior door, and they treated it that way. It's an exterior door. You always want to make sure that door is locked, especially at night. By the way, it's very easy for criminals to open your garage door. You can do it with a coat hanger by slipping it up on the top and pulling the release. Sometimes they steal the garage. I've seen it where they stole the garage door opener out of the vehicle. The person drives home, manually opens their garage door, puts the vehicle in the garage. The next day they have a home invasion because the guy used the garage door opener to open the door. The door between the garage and the house was not locked. And now they get a home invasion and very bad consequences for the family. Okay, so these are just some tips. There's a whole lot of others, but this is some of my street survival tips. Again, deny the enemy, know the enemy's tactics, deny them the initiative, deny them privacy. Deny them anything that they need. Deny them a place where they can commit the crime. These are the things you need to do. Okay, be armed. Of course, you have to be armed. You have to have some kind of weapon with you. And generally speaking, obviously, a firearm is the best weapon you can have. You have to use them with discretion, of course. You can't go around shooting everything. No shooting when you don't need to shoot. There's some really nice little handguns out there. This is a Ruger 380. That's six shots. Very nice little handgun. I think they're about $300, $300 nowadays. You could get something a little bigger. This is a 9mm. Smith & Wesson M&P Shield. Very nice little handgun, fairly small. I carry this in a pouch, which goes around my belt, so I can carry this when I have a t-shirt on. And most people, especially an older guy, they're not going to be suspicious of the fact that you've got a pouch. Maybe that's for your medical devices. I always tell people ask me what that is. Seldom do they actually ask. But if they do, it's like, well, it's my wireless handheld device I need for my health. Okay? And I have 6 9mm apps in there. But anyhow, yes, I can carry that. But if you are going to have a handgun or carry a handgun, one, I don't advise carrying open carry, because I want to have the option of not getting into a shootout. I don't want to be the first one that the guy coming in the door shoots because he sees the firearm. I don't want to generate a shootout in a crowded restaurant if the guy's just coming in for the wallets and he's leaving fine. You know. bullets flying around in a restaurant, not a good idea. That could be partly your responsibility if you start that gunfight. So you want to avoid that if you can. So I advise concealed carry whenever possible. If you're going to carry a handgun, be sure you get trained. Be sure you're going to use it. Because if they find you have that handgun, they get the drop on you, now they've got another gun. Or if you hesitate to use it when you can see that they're going to kill somebody or severely hurt somebody, and you have the perfect right to use that firearm, you have to be confident that you're going to use it. And you're going to use it carefully to avoid other casualties. If you're not confident of that, then maybe you need to go with a pepper spray or even a larger size, I call this industrial strength pepper spray. You can carry that. These are a little slower to use. On somebody that's drugged up, they're not always that convenient. They are not always that effective. Sometimes you're not going to stop the guy. You're going to just slow him down a little bit. So they're not my preferred. As far as tasers, yeah, you got to come in close contact with this big crazy criminal. Then you're not big and you're probably not crazy, I hope. So he's going to have an advantage of you. He's going to take that away from you and do you serious bodily harm. And maybe he's going to use it on you. Same thing with a handgun. You got to be confident you're going to use it. In the case, but at least this with a firearm, you're justified in using it if the person, one, is clearly a threat to life and your life and your welfare and health, and two, they're within 20 feet of you. Now, 20 feet seems like a long way, but it's been proven, first comes at you with a knife, a club, or any other kind of weapon, if they're within 20 feet of you, they can reach you before you can pull the trigger. And you could do this home. Okay, you pull the trigger. No, don't move the real gun. Just say, bang, okay? Person's 20 feet away. They're on you before you can pull that trigger. So within 20 feet, you have a right to use deadly force. Now, of course, another little gadget that I carry with me is a tactical pen. Now, if I'm in a real bad situation and I haven't been able to effectively use a firearm or whatever, and then the guy's got me or, whatever's going on, this is sort of a nice little handy weapon. I can use it here. I can use it right in the eye. I can use it in the eye. I can use it under the nose. I can use it throat. It's just a heavy-duty steel tactical pen. You can get these at any, like the survival supply outfits. You can go online. You can actually get these from, all kinds of different sources that are out there. You probably get it at Amazon. You can look it up on the internet, that's for sure. But anyhow, yeah, this is a nice tactical pen, sort of a backup for your firearm. But anyhow, that's some of my tips on street survival. I've lived in Chicago most of my life. I survived. Had some close calls, some interesting incidents. I didn't spend time covering them all. But anyhow, I hope some of these little comments will help you out as we approach this time when crime now on the streets is almost inevitable for everybody, that they're going to encounter crime in some kind of form. So take care. Stay safe. Till next time, this is Indiana Jim for Life and Freedom. Stay safe out there.